today as we come to the table.
This is the story of Judas. Now, again, I know that I rejected the Lord for the first 25 years of my life, and many of you have the same story. You rejected the Lord for years and God drew you in. But as God truly revealed himself to you, what happened? You believed. You saw who God was and you said, I want to know this God. It always astounds me to see someone that could see who Jesus was and say, you know what, I want nothing to do with you. Matter of fact, so much so, I will betray you and I'll turn you in so they can destroy you. And yet, there are people that are like that out there. And this is interesting. Again, note this. No matter what you do or what you show them, they will never believe because they choose not to.
It's truly hard to fathom how someone could walk with Jesus for 3 years, witnessing miraculous works, hearing the very words of God spoken aloud, and still reject him. There was an underlying issue in Judas's heart that prevented him from seeing God's divine plan, and he tried to supplement his own, bringing destruction on his own life instead. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Judas's agenda was driven by his own reasoning and selfishness because Jesus didn't fit the image that he and really so many others had imagined of the Messiah. And in a moment of greed and pride, he handed his rabbi over to be arrested and ultimately executed. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 13, as we look at Judas, the betrayer.
Now, as we get into this chapter, John 13, it says we start mid-stride here. Jesus is in the middle of this meal where he's washed the disciples' feet. And now he's going to come to a portion of scripture here where we begin to look at the betrayal of the Lord through Judas. Now, again, all of us as disciples of the Lord have a call and a purpose. And sadly, it was no different for Judas. Now, let me explain that. You say, wait a minute, Mark, Judas had a call and a purpose. Judas did have a purpose in his life, but it was a purpose that's going to end in destruction. And you say, how could it be a purpose? Was this something that God wanted? Look, God didn't want Judas to betray the Lord, but Jesus had to go to the cross, and he knew that he would be able to find someone who would be a willing partner in doing that. And so when he knew Judas would be the one who'd be a willing partner and reject him, Judas was the one chosen. So in some strange, odd way, yes, Judas was chosen and had a purpose to be the betrayer of the Lord. Again, not because Judas had to and not because Judas didn't have a choice, but God knew what Judas's choice would be, and therefore he was the one to fill that void. I can assure you that if Judas hadn't done it, there would have been many others who would have betrayed the Lord. But Judas is the one, sadly, that was chosen. And so why Judas? Again, because Jesus knew that he would harden his heart and choose to live for himself rather than respond to the Lord. And this is amazing to me. Even after having the Lord revealed to him, for some reason, there are certain people who choose to harden their heart no matter how much God shows them his love and his power, they still choose to reject him. It's always amazed me. This is the story of Judas. Now, again, I know that I rejected the Lord for the first 25 years of my life, and many of you have the same story. You rejected the Lord for years, and God drew you in. But as God truly revealed himself to you, what happened? You believed. You saw who God was, and you said, I want to know this God. It always astounds me to see someone that could see who Jesus was and say, you know what, I want nothing to do with you. Matter of fact, so much so, I will betray you, and I'll turn you in so they can destroy you. And yet, there are people that are like that out there. And this is interesting. Again, note this. No matter what you do or what you show them, they will never believe because they choose not to. And this is an important thing to understand as believers, because you may be frustrated with someone that you've shown so much evidence and so many facts to and so much clarity to, and they still choose not to believe. Don't be discouraged. Pray for them. And pray for God to soften their heart and open their eyes, because it is a choice. It's not an intellectual problem. It is a heart problem. And this is the story of Judas. Now, when you think about Judas, think about what he experienced. Think about this. He saw the blind receive their sight. He's walking with Jesus. He sees this guy get his sight back when the Lord prays for him. He sees deaf people. The Lord touches their ears and they begin to hear. He sees dead men raised from the dead. The widow's son in Nain, Lazarus, they're outside of Jerusalem. He sees all this. Judas was there. This was no surprise to Judas. He heard, get this, he heard God's word like we can only dream of hearing. He heard it verbally. He heard it daily. And he heard it for years. He was loved like few men are loved. He experienced the love of Jesus face to face every day for years. And yet his heart only got harder and harder and harder. How can this be? Again, as I said, it's because God gives everyone the freedom to choose if they will love him or reject him. And if you allow your heart to become hard to live for what you want rather than what God wants for your life, that's the result. And to have God in human form stand literally before Judas and to love him and to show him miracles and to speak straight into his life and Judas to reject, that should give us encouragement when we've shared our heart and our life with others and they reject. Some people just refuse to believe. It's astounding to me how hard a heart can become. And yet note the contrast. It's even more astounding to me that even when a heart is that hard, the Lord continues to love till the very end. He loved Judas till the very end. We're going to see in today's passage at this evening, he's giving Judas opportunity after opportunity to come to himself and to give his life to the Lord all the way to the end, even to the point where Judas goes to the garden. And what happens? When Judas shows up at the garden, he says, "Friend, why have you come?" He knew exactly why he'd come. And so how convicting that is for me to think that the Lord had such grace in the face of a betrayer like this. Now, I think about myself. Let me ask you this. What if you knew someone in the future, they hadn't done it yet? Okay, let's go different phases or different levels. What if you knew someone in the future was going to betray you? How would you treat them? Think about that. They haven't betrayed you, but you know they're going to. How would you treat them? Could you still love them? Okay, now come to the next phase of this. Now they've done it. You knew they would. You knew it. They did it. Now how are you going to treat them? Now go beyond that to the next phase where you see them after that. How would you treat them then? Guys, in all of the phases prior to the betrayal, at the betrayal, and after the betrayal, Jesus loved him and said, "Friend, why have you come?" How convicting is that? That's only a love that can be given by God. That's a supernatural love. That doesn't come by human means. It is supernatural. It is the Lord. There's no other way that it's possible. But Jesus gave him every possibility to repent and to be saved. But again, just like Judas, it never ceases to amaze me how many people continue to refuse to believe God regardless of the evidence. Listen, I want to encourage you, and this popped in my brain because of an article I saw this week. In one way, it might seem a little out of place, but it goes right in line with this because we're talking about Judas, a man who saw so much evidence. First of all, Jesus said, "Judas, believe me." And he didn't believe. Then he said, "All right," but he didn't know. I mean, he knew he didn't believe. Judas didn't admit he didn't believe, but the Lord knew he didn't. Then he said, "Judas, follow me and I'll show you evidence." Judas followed him. He showed him years of undeniable evidence and Judas still rejected. And there are people like that today. And I believe that as we get closer and closer to the return of the Lord, he's going to be revealing himself more and more from heaven. He's going to be showing mankind more and more evidence so that we can believe. The question is, will we believe? And I want to encourage you guys, don't be intimidated by the world when they try to get you to doubt God's word. Because when you say you believe God's word literally, they'll mock you. How can you believe God's word literally? Listen, everything God says, I believe. And I found in my life that I simply take him at his word and believe what he says. I've always found God to be true. And as the Bible says, every man a liar. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says, and this is one that might be challenging. Some of you might be afraid to even step up and make a stand like this. But it's interesting. The Bible says literally, and the language bears out that it's speaking quite literally that the earth was created in 6 days. How many of you does that challenge? How many of you say, "Well, I know it says that, but God probably did it this way." But God didn't say he did it that way. God said he did it in 6 days. And it lines out in the language 6 24-hour periods. By the way, when it talks about night and dark, if it took millions of years, it would be light for millions of years, dark for millions of years, light for millions of years, dark for millions of years, light, you get it. It just doesn't line up with Scripture. Never be afraid to make a stand. And here's what I believe. God's going to be calling his church to stand up and stand on his word with boldness in the last days, regardless of how the world responds or mocks it. Jesus said this. He said, "Those of you that honor my word and keep all of it," he said, "not one jot or tittle is going to pass away." He said, "All of you that honor it, and keep my word true before man, I'll honor you in heaven. He said, if you dishonor my word, I'll dishonor you in heaven. He said, if you honor my word and keep it as it is, you'll be great in the kingdom of God. He said, if you dishonor my word, you're going to be less in the kingdom of God. And sometimes I wonder how many of us as believers are willing to say, you know what? I'm going to stand on God's word. And if man's going to make fun of me, let man make fun. But I'd rather stand before God on that day and say, you know what? You said it. I believed it. That's enough for me. And I believe God's going to be giving more and more evidence to us in the last days against what the world tries to teach, because the world wants to get you to deny God's word. Again, I shared with you guys a while back, there was a few years ago, they found a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And I've got a reason for sharing this, because I'm going to lead into another thing that happened this week. And you may have heard about it, you may not have, because these things are typically not on your regular news. But they found a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and of course the world will say, we're millions of years old, not thousands, millions, and this didn't happen in 6 days, and they'll have all their explanations for it, right? And again, even challenging maybe some of us this morning. But when they broke the leg open of this Tyrannosaurus Rex, because they had to get it in a helicopter, guess what they found? Pliable soft tissue and red blood cells. How do you find pliable soft tissue and red blood cells in something that is millions of years old? It's impossible. But rather than the scientific community saying, okay, we have a slight problem here. Wait a minute, whoa. Maybe we did something wrong here. Is this some strange anomaly in the way this thing was preserved? Can we find out? Or maybe we're wrong on this? I mean, let's look at this, guys. But rather than do that, they immediately came out and said, what an amazing discovery. We found out now that pliable red tissue can actually not evaporate or turn to dust even after 70 million years. True story. Rather than accept the obvious evidence, no, that would make God's word true. We can't do that. God's word has to be wrong. And I believe that's the motivation. There's a spiritual thing going on behind the scenes. Well, guess what happened this week? They found another dinosaur. Let's show the picture of the dinosaur. This one's called the dancing dinosaur. And they found them. They would dance all over the land. No, I'm kidding. It's not. It's just a dead bird laying flat. They raised it up. But I like to think he's dancing. Anyway. This is a dinosaur. They found this dinosaur, and last week the scientific community revealed, and I don't know how long they took to release it, it still has pliable eyeball tissue. And you know what they said? It's even older than the Rex. This one's 120 million years old. So the eyeball, which is one of the first things to evaporate and dissolve, somehow this one not only made it beyond the initial few days, it made it millions of years. Guys, I got the opportunity a while back to be a part of the FBI Citizen Academy or whatever, and they showed us the body farm. That's here at UT, you've heard about it, where they show the decay of human bodies, kind of gross, but they study it to find out in detective cycles, you know, when did they die, how does this all kind of thing learn from that, and they sped it up and show us what happens in just an amazing amount of time. I mean, when the body's out in the open like that or whatever, it's gone like that. When you know how the body decays and the laws and the truth of science and the way things work, it is impossible. It is simply because it was encased in a fossilized case very quickly that even there could be any tissue that could be remain for a few thousand years, much less millions. And why? Now we know that fossilization happens rapidly when something is buried underwater in dirt. I have a candidate for you. It's called the flood of Noah. And yet the Bible says they also will mock that. As a matter of fact, it says it will be like what? The days of Noah in the last days. Here's my encouragement in this. It doesn't matter what evidence you show the world. They're going to choose not to believe because they've made up their mind the Bible can't be true. It's not true. We're putting our faith in man rather than God. Judas was that kind of person. He said, I will not believe no matter what. I don't care if you show me people rising from the dead. I don't care if you show the blind seeing. I don't care if you give those that are deaf hearing. I don't care. I'm not going to believe. This is the kind of person that Judas was. And you're going to run into those out there. You have to simply love them, pray for them, ask for God to soften their hearts, but realize there are some things you simply can't do. And when it comes to a person like this, there are things you can't do. Judas was one of those. Now we jump into the story. We're mid-meal. He's washed their feet. Remember, they were laying on these couches, these pads on the floor around this U-shaped table. The Lord had just gone around behind each one of them and washed their feet. What an awkward scene that must have been as the Lord moved from person to person to person, washing their feet and moving around them. And then he comes to Peter, the whole scene where you're not washing my feet. And then finally he says, you know what? All of you are clean, but except for one of you. And he said, not all of you. Basically, you're all clean, but not all of you. And he was speaking of Judas. And that's where we left off last week. That's where we take up this week, starting in verse 18. And notice what it says. He says, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now, again, Jesus knew he would be betrayed, and he knew who his betrayer was. And now he tells them that it was prophesied. He said, I know in advance, and I'm telling you in advance so that you'll know that I know and understand that I'm giving you this information. Notice verse 19, I tell you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Now listen, this is one of the reasons God gives us prophecy. Prophecy is there so that we can know the future, you know, in that sense, but also so that we can know that he truly is God. He said it was going to happen. It happened. Who else can do that? Maybe you heard this week, and sadly it is. It was out in the news a few weeks ago, but I heard somebody else mention something about it just yesterday. And I even forget this lady's name, this lady that used to do that show, The Long Island Medium or whatever. She's getting divorced, which is sad. And her life is sad for anyone to see a marriage fail or whatever. But it's interesting to me to see someone who claims to know the future not see the fact that her marriage wouldn't make it and still go forward with the marriage. Now, I'm not trying to be facetious, but I'm saying the bottom line is nobody, even those who claim to see the future or to speak into the spirit realm, nobody really knows the future but the Lord. And so the Lord knows the future, and he said, so that you, my church, and the world who's doubting can know that I really am God and that I'm the one to follow, and it's none of these other religions and none of these other things, I'm going to tell you prophecy, and I'm going to tell you things in advance. And disciples, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be somebody that's going to betray me. And you guys don't know who he is, but I do. And when it happens, you're going to go, you know what? The Lord told us that. And now we believe. So prophecy validates the Lord and the Bible in a way that nothing else can. And it's something that we should use when we share the Lord. Now, again, he prophesied that one of these 12 would lift up his heel against him. Ultimately, it speaks of his betrayal, but it's a very picturesque language here. When it says, he quotes here out of Psalm 41:9, there in verse 18, when he says, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. It's speaking of his betrayal. And what's interesting about this is that to lift up the heel represented rebellion, but it also represented disrespect and dishonor. And even in the Hebrew culture today, really more in the Arabic culture than the Hebrew culture, but in the Arabic culture today, in a strong way, to raise your foot to someone is a huge insult. You're not even supposed to cross your leg where someone can see the bottom of your feet. They take that as a huge insult. And so he's saying there's going to be one that's going to lift up his heel against me, one that has eaten bread with me, one that has shared oneness with me, that has pretended to love me and be a part of this, is going to betray me. And it's one that's among me right now. And again, David, when he was speaking there in Psalm 41:9, was speaking of Ahithophel. Who was Ahithophel? This is interesting. Ahithophel was a foreshadow of Judas. How do we know that? Because he betrayed David, and then after he betrayed David, he went out and hung himself. And now we see Judas betrayed Jesus and then went out and hung himself. And David writes about Ahithophel, the fact that he was one that ate bread with him, one that he loved, one that lifted up his heel against him. And Jesus uses this quote to say, you know what? Ahithophel, again, was a picture. He was a type of what's going to happen to me. That literally happened to David. Now it's going to happen to the son of David. It's been prophesied to you. I want you to recognize this so you'll know that all the things that God said are coming to pass will come to pass. And so, again, a trusted servant, a trusted counselor to David, and now Jesus, one that he loved, although he knew he would be betrayed, he's heartbroken over it. And we'll see that in just a moment. Notice he says in verse 20, most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Jesus is saying if we receive the Father, we're receiving him, and if we receive him, we're receiving the Father. Why? Because the two are one. They're one and the same. However, he's also pointing out that since Judas was rejecting him, Judas was also rejecting the Father. And the same is true today. Anybody that rejects the Jesus of the Bible, they're rejecting God. And if they think they can reject the Jesus of the Bible and still go to heaven, the Bible says they're deceived. They can't. Jesus said, you have to come, or rather the Father said, you have to come through my Son. That's the only way you can get in. And guys, I want to make a note of this. It's got to be the Jesus of the Bible. Remember, there are a lot of Jesuses out there. Everybody's got a Jesus. What your friend thinks Jesus is like, what Mormons say, what Jehovah's Witnesses say, what Islam says, they've all got a Jesus. But there's only one Jesus, and it's the one revealed in the Scriptures. He validated himself through the Scriptures. This is the one you've got to believe in. And if you don't believe in him, the Bible says you can't enter the kingdom of God. And so, powerful, challenging, and revealing here again that Judas is not going to be entering the kingdom of God. He's not receiving him. And notice when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit. It's a strong word. And he testified and said, most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. Now we see this whole scene here where the Lord is struggling. He's troubled and he's saying, one of you guys are going to betray me. And he's saying it in front of all of them. I don't know how he's saying it, but he's troubled. And they could obviously see the trouble on his face. The word trouble here comes with the meaning of being deeply disturbed. And I think that any one of us, if we were being betrayed, we would be deeply disturbed. But I think there's a lot more going on here. I believe this shows the love that he had for Judas. It's almost like, I've done everything I can, Judas, over these years to convince you not to do this. And yet I know prophetically you're going to, but I've still done everything I can to give you the opportunity. Don't do it. How it must have broken the Lord's heart. I mean, they lived together. They ate together. They slept together. Now imagine, they traveled everywhere by foot. They were literally together every day for all these years of ministry. Spending time talking, asking questions, watching miracles, excited about the things the Lord was doing, hearing the word of God. And there was Judas in the midst of them. And the Lord developing this love for Judas, and he already had a love for Judas, knowing he was going to betray him. And now he's troubled in spirit because he realizes, you know what? You're going to betray me. And again, we talked about his love. Even to the end, he loved him. Friend, why have you come? There at the garden. And so the Lord's troubled, I believe, not just because of his betrayal, but because of his love for Judas. And notice then his disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now, this is an amazing scene. Try to imagine yourself there. It was a table that was in a U-shaped table. Okay, there wasn't a huge gap in the middle, but that was there so the servants could come in and out. They're laying on their left side with their head at each other's chest, their feet behind them, all around the table. And already it's been awkward because Jesus, who's the leader of the feast, he's the one they all look to as their Lord. He's already gotten up, walked back behind them. And as they're laying there behind them, washed their feet from behind. Gone to the next one, washed the feet from behind. You can feel the tension rising as they're looking at each other going, what is going on? I'm going to wonder, was anybody talking during that time? There's already kind of this nervous anxiousness going on among them. Then he goes back, he lays back down, he gets his position again, and he says, one of you guys is going to betray me. Now think what level it's gone to. It's just the ante just went up that much more, right? And so now they're looking around. It's interesting here, the word says when they looked at each other with perplexity or being perplexed, it's exactly what you would imagine. The word means, you know, just kind of the shock, looking around like, whoa. You know, and I can imagine them all just looking at each other, you know, who is it? What's going to happen? You know, it's interesting. Another gospel tells us that they all start asking him at this point. Lord, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Finally, it comes back to the very last one. And I don't know for a fact that Judas was last, but I bet he was in asking the Lord, is it I? Why do I believe that? Because he knew it was him. And all the other guys are real quick. He said, I know. He said, oh, no, whatever. Can you imagine if Judas hadn't said something? I think they'd have known right away who it was. So Judas at that point had to look at the Lord who knew the truth. Judas knew the truth. Lord, is it I? You've said it. How he said it, I don't know. But that's what he said. Yes, it is you, Judas. And apparently it was done in such a way at that point that nobody knew it, because we're going to see that John here in just a little bit asked, Lord, who is it? So there was this communication where Judas knew, Jesus knew, but the bottom line is nobody else knew until he reveals it to John. But they're looking around amazed. Again, and this is amazing to me because, again, none of them knew that it was Judas. You know, we've talked about this before, but how do you live with somebody for 3 years and not figure out that they're fake? And what it shows us, number one, is people can pretend to be Christians really good. That is why when you're sharing the gospel and you're with other people, don't just assume they're saved. Now, don't, you know, you don't have to embarrass yourself, or if they say and they share their testimony, you know, you need to believe them. But if you say, hey, when did you give your life to the Lord? Well, I've never really had a moment where I really prayed and asked him to be my Lord, but I've just always believed in him. This is somebody you want to go a little farther with and say, you know what? Have you really confessed your sin? Have you received him as Lord?
While we're wrapping up our time at the table of God's Word for today, your time in the Bible doesn't have to. In fact, we'd like to encourage you to keep reading. There's so much to learn about Jesus and his love for you and for the world. If you missed any part of this broadcast, or if you want to hear it again, you can by visiting PastorMarkKirk.com. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast too. That way you'll never miss an episode. You can also join us on Facebook to get the latest information on that day's broadcast, along with some inspiration and encouragement for your news feed. There's a link for that too at PastorMarkKirk.com. Now, before we close, let's hand it back over to Pastor Mark one more time.
I'm glad you took the time to join me today to study the Gospel of John. It's such an incredible testimony of Jesus' ministry here on earth.
I hope you've been blessed, and I know I've been blessed teaching it. I'd like to ask you a favor as well. Would you commit to praying during this study through John? Please pray that the Holy Spirit would lead people to this program so that they can find hope in Jesus. And pray that they'd have open ears and soft hearts. I know the message of Jesus can transform lives and heal brokenness, but not if they never hear it. Thanks for lifting your fellow listeners up to the Lord. And thanks for joining me today and every day that we come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.